Good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota, talking to you this morning with our Cup of Goodness program, the goodness of God, not the severity of God, the goodness of God as taught to the Gentiles through Paul and Paul only, located within a King James Bible only, rightly divided, the word of truth, which is taught and commanded of us only in the King James Bible. We are looking at program number 85 this morning. We are going to actually conclude our little mini-series here about go ahead, read the Gospels, but just don't, number one, don't reject them like the hypers do. Two, don't change them like the Bible correctors do. Don't teach them with the signs for gain or as the law and the walk as applicable for today as all the pastors in the churches and pulpits do today. Don't use the Gospels as your personal testimony as either you're following Jesus' teachings to the Jews or you're following Peter, which is the apostle for the circumcision, or you're following John or James or, you know, those guys, the apostles. They're the apostles' doctrine in Acts chapter 2. That was done during the Great Commission days. These are not the Great Commission days. The last two points here this morning will be, don't ignore them. And don't believe on them. You can believe in them. They are the Word of God. It is the Word of truth. It is the way of God. It is about who Jesus is. And it is about what Jesus did when he came down on this earth. It's just that those teachings were directed to the Jews. That's all. It's that simple. But to believe on them, that's different. And in the next program, or two or three, we will discuss a little bit, I think, here, the differences between believing in and believing on. But that's tomorrow or soon another day. Let's get back in now. This would be part five, I think. We got part one, reject them. Part two, change them. Part three, teach them the signs following as law. Four, as your personal testimony, follow him. And five, ignore them. And six, believe on them. Okay, so why should we not ignore the Gospels? If you have realized that you need to be looking to the risen Savior's teachings, which make total sense, and to be doing so through Paul as the only apostle, he's the minister to the uncircumcision, that makes sense. To do it in a King James Bible, that makes sense. And to rightly divide this such, you're looking to Paul's books for your doctrine and application for today. It's that simple. Well, what about the Gospels? Okay, don't go to the route like we talked about at the beginning. Don't reject them. But there's another way to look at this, and that's don't ignore them either. Romans chapter 15, just a couple of quick verses here. Romans chapter 15 says this in verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime. Aforetime is before that time right then and there. Okay, so for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. It's a real joy. It's a real hope to go back even into the Old Testament, which, by the way, the Gospels are still considered Old Testament, Hebrews 9. Anyway, we go back to the garden. We understand how this world got cursed. We understand the situation. We understand the design. We understand that we're now made in the image of fallen Adam. We understand all that stuff. Then we learn about all the law, not just the 10, but all the law. And it should help us realize, boy, am I glad that we have the risen Savior today. But you learn about those things. And it says, for our learning, we still need to learn those things, and through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, is that patience of the Scriptures or patience and comfort of the Scriptures? We through patience. I'm not a very patient man. I wanted to learn this stuff. Once I get into this stuff, I want to just talk about it and do sermons upon sermons upon sermons. I want to see people respond. I was hoping for more responses we're getting from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Or is it the Fort Worth-Dallas area? Whatever. And I need to be patient. I'm receiving letters here and there. We've had somebody write and ask for a Bible, which, by the way, Jack, it should probably be there Wednesday or Thursday. So it should be there pretty soon. And we've gotten some marvelous letters from a couple of listeners. We have received more letters from people that have found the website and looked through that. And one of these days I'll have an email or a letter reading program, and we'll have some questions that I find on the internet. Their answers are just atrocious. It's like, where you had to go to college, the Bible College, the Bible Institute, to learn that crazy answer? Where did you come up with that? So we'll talk about some of those things here pretty soon here, actually. This Romans 15:4, for our learning that we through patience, just got to have patience. We learn this stuff as we learn this stuff. And comfort of the Scriptures. The Scriptures. It's the Word of God. It's the mouth of God. Every word, every punctuation, I just believe that I've got the Word of God. I don't have to pull out a Greek somewhere. I don't have to pull out some kind of Hebrew studies. I don't mind pulling out a dictionary. I need to learn the definition of words. I am no literary scholar as such, but I do pull up an 1828 dictionary because I know that dictionary was written with scriptures for illustrations and for examples and part of the definitions. So any words that you don't know what they mean in the King James Bible, just look them up in the dictionary. How hard is that? And if you really want to get an encouraging and enjoyable thing to read, get the old 1828 and look at the definition there. It's a Bible study in itself. Why do we look back at these things? Why should we go through the Gospels? For patience and comfort of the Scriptures, so we can have hope. We go back and we read that stuff. Read through the Psalms. Look what it was for them to have to be righteous. Look at the wisdom in Proverbs, which can be applied to us if we understand Paul's doctrine and Paul's teachings. And we go to Ecclesiastes, and we see every philosophical belief or teaching for man is found in the book of Ecclesiastes. So you can read that stuff and find the vanity of it all. It's comfort. It's the Scriptures. It's the Word of God. It's what He inspired. It's what He preserved to this day. That's a marvelous thing. That's hope. I tell you what, if I didn't believe this King James Bible to be what it is, the Word of God, the Scriptures, if I didn't understand the simplicity of rightly dividing the Word of truth, I would have tossed this all away a long time ago. I was a Baptist for years, but I kept developing questions and questions and questions more and more. Even during a sermon, something would click to me and say, you know, that doesn't make sense, does it? And there's a couple times we pointed out some Paul stuff in the middle of a sermon, just because we saw the truth of it as we were talking about it. Hope. Hope is in the fact that I've got the Word of God. I look at these other Bibles. There's no hope in those things. They've got corrections. They've got verses missing. They change the punctuation. There's a place in Amos chapter 6. You change one comma and add one word, and you've got scripture support for today's modern contemporary Christian music scene. One comma can change that whole thing. It's fabulous to have the scriptures. I don't have to go to Bible college to learn this stuff. This is the scriptures. It's simple to read. It's simple to understand. Is it really? I don't need to turn to an answer man on the radio program that comes up with some wild and crazy explanations that the scriptures could have explained much easier. They've got to do what they can to get rid of the King James Bible. So what does that leave them? Leaves them, and their studies, and their brains, and their unction, and their anointment, so that maybe they can teach you something. I don't need to do that. I've got the scriptures, King James Bible. Such a hope I have, knowing that. Okay, so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 to see something else. Don't ignore the Gospels. Don't reject them. Don't change them. Don't teach them with signs for gain. Don't teach them as a law for today. Don't teach them as your personal testimony. And don't ignore them. They're there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happened to them for ensamples, not examples, because if we were trying to imitate them, then these things that have happened would be there for our examples. No, they're there for our ensamples, is to show us what took place. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Now remember, we're dealing with Gentiles here, and so this Gentile nation here says they're written for our admonition. That's us. Well, first of all, what is admonition? Okay, admonition, gentle reproof. It's just a gentle reproving to us, counseling against a fault, instruction in duties, caution, and gives us direction. The things that happened in the past for our hope of the scriptures, okay, comfort and hope, and for our admonition to guide us, give us some caution. Well, what's there to caution us? Well, do we realize who this God is we're dealing with? Look how God handled his own people. Look at how his own people handled God. Look at how Jesus Christ handled the Jews. Look at how the Jews handled Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, there's some stuff in there that we can learn from, and there's some things in there that ought to give us a little caution about how we live our lives today to please God. Is it because he's going to chastise us? No. Is he going to do some things against us? No. Well, we've got the judgment seat of Christ we still need to deal with. So we can still get some reproof, gentle reproof, admonition from the Scriptures, from the Gospels, sure we can, and from the Old Testament, which, by the way, again, are still the Gospels. But do we look to those things, to those laws, to those teachings that will teach us how we have to be today? No, not at all. We turn to Paul for that. And if there's anything in the Gospels that Christ would want us to have, he would give it to Paul. And I'll give you an illustration of that here in the next couple of days again. Some things that Jesus said, well, those we should probably follow. Well, you know, matter of fact, we should, because Paul teaches it to us. But we don't need to go to the Gospels to get the things that teach us how to live to please God today. You mean doing the Beatitudes wouldn't please God today? No. He never told us, Gentiles, those Beatitudes weren't directed to us. But if there's anything in the Beatitudes that we're supposed to get out of the Beatitudes, Paul will tell them to us. Is there anything in there that Paul tells us? I'm not going to tell you. Just look to Paul. Learn them. They're there. Don't reject them. Don't ignore them. They're there. Learn them. But don't try to live them. Okay. So, this admonition thing here. What else does Paul say about admonition? Well, he tells us fathers in Ephesians chapter 6, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Again, admonition is guidance. It's caution. Listen, guys, kids, you need to be careful out in this world. We should bring our children up in the admonition of the Lord, the things that the Lord says to guide and to caution and to counsel us in our walk. It's that simple. And those things which happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition. Then it says, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Well, by the way, that's all Paul says about admonition. He does say, a man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, you know, warning, caution, he says to reject, by the way. If you're one of those heretics that thinks Paul's teaching is baloney, think the King James Bible is just a bunch of baloney, if you really are solid on that thing, well, would you please turn your radio off, because I've given you 84 programs up to this point. That's way more than the first and second admonitionings. Or just keep listening. You just never know. It just might click yet. Patience. Patience, it says there. We're looking to this, upon whom the ends of the world are come. That brings up a question that somebody asked me recently. What about, you know, the tribulation and stuff like that? How does that fit in with all these things here? Well, let's go to Revelation just for one moment. We'll do another program on that probably in a different day. But let me just show you a little bit of how we can get something even out of the book of Revelation. Because it says in chapter 1, he says in verse 19, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. That pretty much covers it, doesn't it? John's going to see some things that took place in the past, are taking place in the present, and are taking place in the future, will take place in the future. Well, where does Paul fit into that thing? You know, he doesn't fit in there at all. Really, he doesn't fit in there at all. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Paul talks about, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, verse 2, which is given to me, you word, for the Gentiles, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, he says, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Now here's the verse, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Really? Yes. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. That was never talked about before. Like it was now. Okay, we go to the same thing in Colossians. Paul says in chapter 1, verse 24, let's go to 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect, you know, complete, finished, in Christ Jesus. So where's Paul's stuff in the book of Revelation? It's not there. It's not supposed to be there. It has been hid from ages, from generations. You've got to remember, this Bible is a Jewish book, okay? From Genesis to Revelation. Goes right on through. Leave Paul's books out of it for just a moment. When those guys realized that they crucified their Savior, Christ came back and told Peter to take these people and go out there and tell the people that he would be there for them. And if they were to take him back, they still got to go through that tribulation. James and Jude and John and Peter, they write these things knowing that the tribulation is going to come upon everybody and they're going to have to walk that law, which they had to do anyway. But now it's going to be worse because Antichrist himself, the devil himself, is going to be on this earth walking about seeking whom he may devour. And these guys are going to have to walk the law and not take that mark, which is going to cause that devil to be worshipped. Now, North Dakota is probably one of the last states in this country to hear about anything that's going on. I just received in my credit union newsletter, whatever, that they're talking about how in the next, when our credit cards expire to get those new ones, they're going to have computer chips in the card, now not having that little magnetic strip. As far as I know, they may already have them. But like I say, this is North Dakota. It says here that we're the last developed country in the world to do this. We may be the last state in this country to do this. We're probably happy we have electricity and plastic up here. But they got chips in these cards. So we're just getting closer and closer to this chip thing, which, by the way, has to be in your... Here, let me just read it to you here. Go back here to Revelation 13. You can't just go by my memory because it stinks anyway. It says here, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Your modern Bible say on their foreheads and on their right hand. Why? What's the point? It's going to have to be placed in. Until they're going to go place it in, then that's not the official mark. Okay? I mean, I know people now that won't take credit cards. Okay, well, that's the mark of the beast. No, it's not, you know. Not yet. It has to be a mark that goes in your forehead or in your hand. Okay. Well, do we ignore this stuff? No, we don't ignore this stuff. But Paul doesn't fit into the book of Revelation. But we need to read that book of Revelation because it tells everybody what's coming up. We've got this little burst in there where they killed Stephen, Acts chapter 7 and Acts chapter 8, and God drops in this dispensation of grace, which is given to the Gentiles. And that time is not mentioned in Revelation. That's this fantastic time where the whole dispensation is based on grace. There's been grace in every dispensation, but there's never been a dispensation of grace. When this Gentile thing is done, Romans 11:22, God's going to cut it off, cut the Gentiles off, take out what few are left that actually have followed the risen Savior, and goes right on to the tribulation, right on to the millennium, exactly as is talked about in the book of Revelation. So it's still coming, folks. That rapture is still coming. You want to call it the rapture? I call it the cutting off of the Gentile nation, because that's what really it's going to be. And the tribulation is still coming. It's getting closer. I'm telling you, the things that are going on out there, the chip, et cetera, the economy, the world government, I mean, it's there. And you can listen to all these Revelation guys on the radio that you want, but none of them, N-O-N-E, none of them tell you to turn to the risen Savior. They tell you to turn to Jesus. They tell you to turn to God. They tell you to get your life fixed up. You got the tribulation coming. They tell Christians that you're going to have to go through the tribulation as a Christian. That's not true at all. We're saved from God's wrath. That's crazy. There is no law. Where there's no transgression, there is no law, et cetera, et cetera. And so, yes, it's coming. But listen, before it actually gets here, that cutting away of the Gentile nation has to take place. When we see the tribulational signs, I call them clues, because we're not looking at the signs, but there's a lot of clues that are going on that things are really winding down here, or should I say winding up to the big move. What these radio program people are doing, they're actually, or TV people, all these people writing these books about the four horsemen, you know, and all this. I mean, there's just tons of stuff. The Seventh-day Adventists are big on that stuff. I mean, it's just exciting stuff for people. But listen, that's not our problem. Whenever that tribulation kicks into gear, that's when we will be taken out. When that thing officially becomes doctrine, then that thing will be taken out. Okay, well, my bunny trailing this thing. I may not get this program done like I said when I started. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't get shook up. It's as if the day of Christ is at hand. No, it's not here yet, but it's getting closer. As that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't get shaken by that. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except for coming falling away first. And what are they falling away from? Are they falling away from the Gospels? No. They're falling away from the teachings of the risen Savior. Golly gee willikers, as we would say, they're not falling away from the Gospels at all. They're being led into the Gospels. They're being led into Jesus' teachings to the Jews. Those Jewish teachings are being taught today in every church, not the ways of Paul. They're prepping people for the Antichrist. So here are these people reading these books about what's wrong in this country, what's wrong in the economy, and they're telling people, actually, they're telling them to turn to the Antichrist for their Savior. That's what they're doing. They're not turning people to the risen Savior. They're not turning people to the King James Bible. They're not turning people to rightly dividing, which would totally explain what's going on. It would totally get them the out that God provided himself. They're actually being shown how to get involved with this Antichrist. Does that make sense? I mean, let me say it again. These guys that are teaching in these books, the Revelation, the Tribulation, all this stuff going on, all these videos you see on YouTube and all these guys preaching and stuff, and yet they don't tell you the solution. They tell you to go to Jesus. They tell you to go to your Bible. They tell you to go to your feelings. They pump up the music. And that's just the way they go. And they're not telling people the truth about the risen Savior. So they're actually helping people get ready for what the people are studying to stay away from. What a trick. What an absolute deceptive trick. And he's given them signs. He's given them wonders and marvelous things, the marvelicity of religion. And, oh, I'm telling you, Paul does not fit any of this stuff. The King James Bible doesn't fit any of this stuff. Okay, boy, did I get off track on that one. So don't ignore the Gospels. They're still there. Don't ignore them. And like I say, don't ignore Revelation. So how are we doing on time, 24? No, I'm going to have to, I was wrong. I was not able to get to the final point tonight. I'm just going to toss in a little music, and we're going to go to the final point, the actual final point, tomorrow morning program. I was wrong. I didn't get them done. I got bunny trailed off by the book of Revelation, and folks that are thinking they're going to have to go through the tribulation as the church. Where does Paul fit in when it comes to the book of Revelation? He doesn't fit in at all because it's been hid. And it's that time where Christ went to the Gentiles himself through Paul. We'll just have to continue this again tomorrow morning. And we'll get into you can believe in the Gospels, but don't believe on the Gospels. And we'll talk about what's the difference to believe in and to believe on. So that'll be tomorrow. Here's some piano music for you, and I'll talk to you folks tomorrow.